see. We haven't the final knowledge on that, but our ambassador is talking with Prime Minister Dole at dinner just about now. Previously, he said he had no knowledge of it. And this is an area where there's been movement back and forth pretty constantly. Sometimes the ANC...
What's the effect of that?
Well, I think the effect of this is they have really gotten a surrender. It means that the central government has pushed its line of efficacy down to here and cleared an important supply line to them. The effect on Mr. Shambe may be one of two kinds, anger or recognition that he's got a new situation to deal with. And perhaps the latter may give us a key to an opening.
The same thing as President Stevens talked to Brown Funds this morning. I can go to report briefly on that.
I spent about an hour with him up there this morning. His general assessment of this thing is, I think, somewhat more sanguine than ours here. Now, he feels that Chombe has lost a good deal of ground, and that Adula, taking into account all the problems he's managed to solve outside of Katanga in the last year, is a good deal stronger. And Gardner's assessment as of yesterday was, after talking with Adula, he quoted Adula as saying that he didn't think he was in any real parliamentary trouble for the moment, contrary to our expectation a few days ago before Parliament came into session. On the plan and its carrying out, the UN people feel that the constitutional problem is not the main one, in the sense that that isn't the problem that Chombe is raising. Chombe isn't saying, nobody show me the Constitution, or I want to argue with this Constitution. What Chombe is worried about is the amnesty. And he says he'll send his people up to take the oath and so on if there's a general amnesty.
How many people would be involved in the amnesty?
Well, I don't know. Quite a good number.
They'll sell to 3 or 4. They started with 10. Come live with them. They'll all take them back at home. But the people who come up to take the amnesty directly, maybe only 3 or 4.
Wayne Hobie will be pardoned by the amnesty?
Oh, excuse me.
Quite a number, and this is the problem. Should it include Gazenga? Should it include other people?
Well, Gardner thinks that the problem, that Adula's difficulty with it, in a sense, is the same difficulty we would have with, which is, does it mean that he, or how can he have a loophole in the amnesty so that it's satisfactory to Chombe, but still keeps Gazenga and Gbenye, at least, in the jug?
And I suppose it would have to include all of the troops and so on of Chombe and all of the mercenaries and so on.
Well, so the problem is, I think we have a common interest with Adula in trying to figure out a way of having an amnesty that isn't quite total in this situation.
I thought the dates would not be helpful. I'd say that we give an amnesty to everybody who's involved up till such and such a date.
But Gazenga was, rather early. Gbenye, be easy to...
Or geography. What about geography? That every
Secretary General sent letters to both Adula and Shombe, rehearsing the whole plan and attaching an analysis of its implementation, which indicates that both of them are delinquent, but Shombe somewhat more delinquent on more things. The letter doesn't have a deadline in it. It has a rather fuzzy phrase about this period must now be regarded as running out. But yesterday at the Congo Advisory Committee meeting, the Secretary General, to Bunch's surprise, he says, produced in his oral presentation the November 15 date that was in Kitty Telsch's article this morning in the Times. So I concentrated with Ralph on what they really expected to do on or after whatever deadline it was going to be. And their thought now is that they ought to tighten the noose gradually, starting with those actions that don't require any great political decisions by Western countries. And starting with things that Adula himself can do, such as denying foreign exchange.
They're the best bet. The Greeks also, I think, would be good.
want some internal airlift for vehicles, the kind they really can't handle unless they have our...
This is in preparation to do what?
Well, this is just to get themselves into position where, in a pinch, they could defend themselves. But he's really not talking about anything except maintaining the degree of force that they've had. And he thinks they're in pretty good shape on that. They can do a little more moving of troops in because they have, in fact, turned over the internal security function to the ANC in a lot of places where a year ago. I mean, Kivu province is largely, he says, now in the hands of the local troops and not in the... So that some of the land might be movable and so on. And Lindula does seem to be pretty loyal up in Stanleyville, so they might be able to move some of the Ethiopians that are up there and so on. So he feels, from the point of view of the total force, they're not in trouble. He thinks that as long as they can handle the situation in the air, as long as they can handle the transport of vehicles, which is the one thing they can't handle than anything they've now got, so we would have to do that with the Globemaster business, that they are in reasonably good shape to have a defensive posture that supports this economic and diplomatic loose-tightening operation. My feeling is that they're approaching it rather practically, rather realistically, and that the alarms we had from some of the stuff that had come in from Leopoldville while Ralph Bunch was there, whether they were justified at the time or not, are certainly not justified by anything he now has in mind.
Let me ask you, though, if you got these things, obviously the Philippines would take at least 3 or 4 weeks to get some fighters there. Fly, you'd have to ship taken by ship, wouldn't you? Philippines would be like the concentrating the Greeks and the Italians. Unless you flew the fighters, which would be a rather long trip, it would have to be shipped, and we'd have to send a carrier out to get them, or some ship. I don't know enough about the transport. You have to take 2 or 3 weeks, wouldn't you?
Yeah, the Canberra, they flew.
Consult with Spock.
How much is it?
I think Aduba has failed to cooperate during these last 2 weeks, during the period he was preparing to attack Angola, because all of his actions indicate this. He hasn't sent anyone to Lisbonville to resume discussions about how to create the tripartite observation teams. Had he done that, of course, he couldn't have made this attack against Angola. And he's appeared to not to make any progress in any of the front.
Now, we gave him some, they Bomoko, whatever his name is, did give me, like, give him a substantial assistance. Did we promise him last week? Wasn't it conditioned on the argument that this was to give him sufficient political strength to accept these compromises? Well, that doesn't seem to be moving in that direction, does it?
No, so this attack on Angola is entirely contrary to the plan, or to the whole spirit of the plan. It has an effect on Shambe. But the effect is not such as to be conducive to the type of negotiation that we've relied on in the past. And particularly since we're getting so near to the end of the possibility of this working anyway, I think we ought to forget the distinction between a peaceful conciliation and one where pressures are applied. So take advantage.
I just want to be sure that there's pressure on that dueler as well. We can't just have this be settled on a dueler's terms. You won't get the Belgians, you won't get the British, and you probably won't get Chambes.
The real difficulty about the Congolese thing is it makes it very difficult for Spock, because the Bosque this morning pointed out that Spock's ability to deliver on A and B in this contingency depends on Aduba. And now Aduba appears to have taken a military initiative contrary to the Secretary General's appeal, which he had accepted.
Well, I think we needn't assume yet that that battalion exercise up there is works badly, because it may, in the first place, make it easier for Aduba to handle his political situation. Secondly, make the Chambesi this sort of thing can happen again if he doesn't get on with the job.
Yeah,
it's true that in a certain technical sense it may have been in violation of the Secretary's General's request for a ceasefire. But
I don't think it's any new adventure, sir. This is something that's been boiling for months, both ways.
How many troops would Chambe have lost if this report is correct? Substantial?
No, it's a battalion. 500, yeah.
Well, now, what is it we want a dueler to do so we don't go just his way? We've got
nearly 5-6 points there that we're asking the dueler to take on.
First, they probably need to serve the new constitution. Now, you ought to, in other words, if he is, was he militarily successful in Northern Katanga or as a result of our commitments to him, we want him to go ahead with that parliament. I mean, with the trying to get the constitution to the parliament. Probably then putting tripod observation teams in position to issue a suitable amnesty. Well, the amnesty, we're going to consider this problem we just talked about, how that would be done. To instruct his representatives in the military commission to adopt realist instructions. This is that due order.
Right.
The appropriate and improper arrangements, that's the opening end for the other part. If you need to confidence, well, that doesn't matter. So what do we do now in the next step?
Seems to me that the way in which to make the next couple of weeks imminent, because that process of deciding what would be done at the end of it is what will introduce enough sense of something really going to happen at the end of the line, so that you begin to get some movement over the next
two days. Now, how do you, on the one hand, indicate you're going to take action against Chombay, sufficiently you induce him to do something, on the other hand, not give a deal with the feeling that something's going to be done to Chombay so that he doesn't have to do anything?
I think that we ought to make the squeeze on Chombay more explicitly conditional on
a
duelist performance under this.
These steps that we promised to strengthen a duel, the contingent upon his moving parallel to get out of this plan.
I think we do have a problem of credibility. I think that while this last thing we did with Bomboko raised our prestige with Adula, I think for a while he thought we were a paper tiger. He just about come to that conclusion. And so I think that putting in these planes and doing these other things show the firmness of our intention. And I think that this will not be lost on Mr. Chombay either. It isn't that we're going to actually fight, but it does indicate to him that we're willing to pay the cost of getting the job done. And I think at that point, it'll be a lot easier to talk to Mr. Abdullah, because he'll feel that this thing's going to be done and he can afford to be reasonable. It's only a strong man that can really be reasonable.
No, I'm not sure that. I think we ought to, in the first place, some of these military, we're not going to, the Indians alone cannot sustain another military engagement there, because I would think politically to have many Indians being killed at the time in their country. So I would think, let alone everybody else, I would think Chombay, that's why I don't think we've got that many cards, nor has Adula, because in the final analysis, we're not going to be able to defend these UN troops. We're not going to be able to have them dominate the area militarily without a real bloody fight. Isn't that correct?
Well, I think General Nerona, who is the general of the Indians down there, has indicated that he thought that he could take Jadotville, Kolwezi, and the other things that would be necessary to establish control.
At least the UN troops are probably in a position to defend themselves where they are.
Yes, sir.
Even if they don't go out.
If we provide the transport, they could do that. And then if they're fortunate, they could move from east to Kolwezi.
As I see the thing, you've got us two forms of pressure here. One is the economic squeeze. If we start working on the Belgian firms that have places of business both in the Katanga and in the rest of the Congo by denying them foreign exchange up north, and then showing on the military side that if...
How much does that amount to compared to the Union Minier? How much of a squeeze is that?
Well, the Belgians say that they are more invested in the north than they do in the south. Now, I don't know how this works out in foreign exchange, but it does mean that there's a pretty considerable amount in the north.
The problem here is to build up some pressures without having them discover the truth. That is, we're not going to get another pressure.
I think the fact is we ought to...
I never talk about those things.
...to remove any artificial distinction between the period of straight conciliation and the period of oppression. So we ought to immediately see Spock and get his agreement to A and B here. And that we ought to take advantage of this Congo thing. It's going to have an effect on Chombay. And if it makes it a little easier for him to deal, then we must put Adula in the position of being receptive to him if he's willing to deal. We should go through with Spock just as if we are going to start the collection by the central government of the foreign exchange proceeds. And if we get an agreement, that will come about. If we don't get an agreement, we will need to do this as a form of pressure to reach the showdown with Chombay, which is going to be necessary. I think that if we can make do these things that we're specifying as a condition for being willing in the end to apply two economic things, moving the technicians and getting the payment to the central government, that this will make it easier for the Belgians to do it, and it will mean that he will be receptive during this period that Chambé is under increasing pressure. I had had just taken a shot of telegram today to give to Gardner to tell him that I think he can bridge this gap now by a mediatory effort with a very narrow focus on the Constitution. He's going to go up and see Chambé to go show him the Constitution, to find the minimum demand that Chambé has, and then to attempt to go back and to negotiate that with Abdullah so that Abdullah will let that happen to the Constitution and his consideration of the Parliament.
He's not going to show him the Constitution, though, because Bunch said yesterday, in talking to between Gardner and Abdullah, but Abdullah, in the first place, objected to his going down at all, and Gardner, on instruction, said Abdullah just couldn't make that rule. But also, he does not want him to be the, he explicitly said he didn't want him to be the constitutional mediator.
Okay.
Those are the things that bother me that we haven't had one.
There has to be one, and Gardner is the best man to do it, and this Constitution is public knowledge now, so there's no fear. I tried to get Abdullah to let Gardner go down when I was there, take the Constitution. Wouldn't do it. There's no reason why he can't now.
We will have to back up on that. Somebody has to show the Constitution to Chambé.
That's right. But he's got it now. So it's a question of finding out his demands. Now, at the same time, if he can get Chambé to agree that he will put his foreign exchange, which is something we're going to force anyway, whether he's telling that, into the central government, if the central government will guarantee to give him automatically each month a specified amount, which the IMF, is something we've discussed, will agree to, whatever the split, 60-40, 70-30, whatever it is. Chambé has said that some outside group to which IMF will tell me what I can pay, I'll pay it. But he doesn't want us to pay the 50-50, which he knows is not realistic. If part of Gardner's negotiation is to get a doer to agree to this, that if IMF will make a determination, when the money comes to him, he will automatically pay to Chambé that part. You tie these things together, and in one mediation, which Gardner can do, and I think he can break the back of this. But in the meantime, we must talk with Spock so that automatically these steps are taken, whether or not this thing works.
When is Keating going out there?
Yes, Keating's right.
That's Keating.
He wants to go see Chambé. He's very friendly and favorable towards Chambé. Willing to hear the other side. But
you solved the Cuba problem now.
I have a chance to. I don't know whether you know, Mr. President, that Dodd has backed out of this.
Oh, did he?
He saw Stewart's last Thursday.
Yeah.
And he didn't return my calls Friday and Saturday. I got a 12-page letter from him.
Saying what?
It's all Abdullah's fault. Chambé's done more than you can expect. I'm not under these circumstances going to press for the withdrawal of Stewart's. I'll do it when Abdullah has performed. And then hanging over is sort of blackmail the way he's done for months. The release of the report of the Internal Security Subcommittee on the hearings about Struling's executive session, which he thinks will embarrass us.
Well, why would it embarrass us?
Well, it indicates quite a lot of disarray in the department, and as between us and the Internal Subcommittee over Struling.
I mean, sometimes we used him, sometimes we didn't know what.
Well, he was attempting to prove in these hearings that because Struling didn't agree with us, we were trying to force him out of the country. And Struling's in this makes an extremely good record of persecution. And some of our people, as all this is executive testimony, so they were relatively free, indicate some differences in view among themselves. The testimony
is goes back, by the way,
won't read very, very good. I think I can keep him doing it. He keeps dangling this over us.
Call for Senator, for Undersecretary
we couldn't try to find out who's right and wrong, it's too choppy to do it. Be concerned with the U.S. interest. The problem is much simpler.
Mr. President, are you sending some people, some senators around in a plane to see the troubled spots? Is the
well, I understand Nancy is going with the... are they going in our plane? One of our planes?
Yes.
Mansfield and others. Yeah.
Are they going to go to the
I don't know.
That, my understanding is that okay, Berlin and then Greece, Turkey, Iran, that route.
I think if we could get some friendly senators to go down there, I talked to Hubert, asked him whether he was going under any such trip. He said he didn't know about it. If we could organize something like that, we can't tell a senator not to go, but we might be able to get some other senators to go. It'd be a cover for them.
That would be excellent if you get Hubert to go. Because Dodd very much wants to go. He never told Mr. McKinney.
Why didn't he go with Hubert? He took Dodd go.
If Hubert and Dodd to go at the same time Keeney went, we've got to use the attaché plane to fly up there anyway. We're going to tire a bunch of the embassy down.
Dodd ready to go right now?